Psalm 119 is the longest psalm that we have. It's 176 verses, all revolving around the Hebrew alphabet. It is a psalm dedicated to exalting and praising God for the gift of His written word to us. And so this morning we are going to look at one portion of this section of Psalm 119. We're going to read verses 9 through 16 together. So Psalm 119, beginning in verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in all your statutes, and I will not forget your word. Would you join me? Let me pray as we begin the message this morning. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. And Lord, we thank you this morning for your Spirit who meets us as we come to your word humbly, asking you to enliven our hearts today. So Holy Spirit, have your way. We pray that you would destroy the blinding effects of the enemy who keeps us from hearing the gospel and embracing the gospel, that some today would come to know you for the first time, and others, Lord, who perhaps have wandered from you, would see how beautiful and wonderful your grace is and come back to you this day. So Spirit, use your word and this message to receive much glory and to bless your church. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We are currently in a series in the book of Psalms entitled Real Help for Real People. And we have been looking at real issues like depression, issues like loneliness and aging and fear. And each of these issues that we've been looking at are issues that are very real. They're very felt and obvious needs and things that we face in our lives. Well, this morning we are going to look at something that we all face that is not so obvious. Something that sort of sneaks up on us over time. Something that is a temptation for each of us. In Psalm 119, we will discover the temptation that we all face to wander from God's word and to forget God's word. If you look with me at verse 10, the psalmist writes, "With my whole heart I seek you. Oh, but let me not wander from your ways." In verse 16, "I will not forget your word." See, unlike depression or loneliness or other things that perhaps keep us up all night, wandering and forgetting God, wandering from God's word, forgetting God's word, are things that very often we don't see happening. In fact, what makes this issue so dangerous is that it occurs gradually over time. Gradually we drift and wander, and often it goes unnoticed. This reminds me of something that happened to me while I was in the pastor's college. In the pastor's college, we were constantly being blessed with a lot of food. The Sovereign Grace break room was consistently covered Monday through Friday, morning to evening, with every food you could imagine, and all free for the taking. Among my favorites was when I would come in the morning and find apple pie or cheesecake. Nothing like apple pie and ice cream for breakfast. Well, while I was enjoying this spread of food, I was spending most of my time, 8 hours a day, sitting in a classroom, learning, hearing teaching from God's word. So my days were spent eating and sitting. So September, eating and sitting. October, eating and sitting. November, eating and sitting. December, more eating and more sitting. Now, at that time, we did not own a scale. So it wasn't until we went for Christmas break to visit Elizabeth's parents' house that I stepped on the scale, a scale, for the first time in about 4 months. I got on the scale, I looked down, and my response was, "Wow! This scale must really be off! There's no way this can be right!" I then turned to Elizabeth, who was there, and I said, "Honey, man, what is up with your parents' scale? Man, this thing is so off. How off do you think this thing is?" She looked at me and said, "Oh, I just got on it, and it seems right on to me." I then took the scale and kind of repositioned it on the floor, hoping that it wasn't calibrated quite right. Have you ever done that? Because, you know, maybe the floor was crooked. So I redid it and stepped on it a second time, only to find out that from the moment that I had gotten on the scale the first time until the second time, I had put on another pound. I had gained 20 pounds in 4 months, sitting, eating, eating, and sitting. How did this happen? 20 pounds in 4 months. Well, it happened because I would wander to the break room and forget that I was going to be sitting all day. I would wander back to the break room and forget that I hadn't exercised that morning, wander back to the break room again, and then sit for more good teaching day after day, month after month. Perhaps that is a picture of what God wants us to see from this text, because when we often wander and forget God's word, it is something that happens slowly, something that happens undetected, sort of like a pound at a time. Only this effect on our soul is much more serious than the weight that I had gained. It doesn't take 4 months for your soul to be in poor spiritual condition. And with your soul, it is far more dangerous than it was with my body. This is what God wants to alert us to this morning and protect us from in this passage. He wants to alert us to the reality that we are susceptible to forgetting God's word and wandering from God's word. And he wants to paint for us a very vivid and glorious picture of what it means to live our lives in the word of God. What does it mean to experience God as we enter times in God's word? So that's what we're going to do this morning. We are going to look at what a life in the word is like. What is it like to live a life in the word? And we're going to do that by looking at 3 points. That a life in the word is a life of blessing, it is a life of discipline, and it is a life of dependence. A life in the word is a life of blessing, it's a life of discipline, and a life of dependence. First, we're going to look at a life in the word. A life lived in the word of God is a life of blessing. Now, if you look with me at verse 9, in verse 9, the psalmist is asking us, he's asking himself and us a question. How can a young man keep his way pure? How? How can a young man, how can a person, how can a Christian keep their way pure? Why is he asking this question? That's what ran through my mind the first time I read this. Why? What is his concern? Well, certainly from the text we can see his concern is he doesn't want to wander from God. But I also believe that the psalmist is very familiar with verses 1 through 3. So look with me at verses 1 through 3. Verses 1 through 3 are verses where the psalmist is speaking to us, and the rest of the psalm, he's actually praying to God. So the whole psalm is really couched in these verses, in verses 1 through 3. So the psalmist is contemplating the question, how can a young man keep his way pure? Why is he asking this? Well, verse 1, I think, shows us why. Blessed are those whose way is blameless. Blessed are those whose way is blameless. The psalmist knew verse 1, and he said, the person whose way is blameless is blessed by God. Well, if that's the case, then how can my way be blameless? Because I want God's blessing in my life. See, the psalmist is after God's blessing. The psalmist not only wants to keep himself from wandering, but he wants to experience the blessing of God. So let's look at the blessing. I want to just draw 3 kind of sub-points under number 1, just to help you draw a picture. We're going to paint a picture. What does it look like when we live our lives in line with God's word? What are the blessings that we experience? So I want to talk about 3 blessings. Number 1, it is the blessing of keeping you from sin. It is the blessing of keeping you from sin. If you look with me at verse 11. In verse 11, the psalmist says, I have stored up your word in my heart. Why? So that I might not sin against you. The psalmist knows that one of the blessings that comes from not wandering from God, but instead pursuing him in his word, is that he will be protected from. He will be able to avoid. He will be able to deal with sin in a way that pleases God. Sin, you know, sin hides, doesn't it? Sin likes to look nice at times. But we know, Christians, you know that sin is destructive. You know that sin makes your life miserable. You know that sin ruins relationships. You know that it affects the way that you think. It affects the way that we feel. Sin affects the way that we interpret life, the way that we process trials and things that we're walking through. Sin corrupts the way that we think about our God, which then distorts everything else that we think about in our lives. See, the psalmist knows, okay, if I live a life in the Word of God, I will be blessed because it will keep me. It will protect me from sin. We're going to talk more. I'm going to illustrate that in a minute. Number two, the second blessing is this. It is the blessing of delight. If you look at verses 14 and 16, in verse 14, in the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. Look at verse 16. I will delight in your statutes. The psalmist knows that he must go to God if his soul is going to be filled with genuine delight and satisfaction. And he knows that there's a temptation of riches to try to draw him into false delight, into things that will not satisfy. And so he determines in his mind, I am going to be a man of the Word of God so that my soul will find true delight and joy and satisfaction in God and in His Word. Number three, blessing number three, it is this, the blessing of knowing God. The blessing of knowing God. Now, I want to do this. I want to honor God's word here. I want to reread the section again. And I want you to look for all the times that you see the word you and your. If you highlight or underline your Bible, I would highlight and underline all the references to you and your. And if you are a young person today, I want you to count how many times. You can do that. Count for me. How many times do you hear the words you and your in this passage? Because this is really a passage about God and about his relationship with God. And the psalmist wants a relationship with God. So let's read this and listen. Back to verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to, not the word, although that would be correct. No, he says, your word. With my whole heart, I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. How blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Do you see what's happening here? The psalmist is not coming to God's word as simply a book. He sees this as his access to knowing the living, breathing, almighty Savior of the world. And that's what he thinks about when he's coming to God's word. This is about God. This is about me knowing God. This is about me living my life in fellowship with the Creator of the world, with Jesus Christ, the Savior who has died for my sins. I want to highlight one more thing since we're talking about God. Because every time we come to God's word, we should ask ourselves, okay, what does this teach me about God? Okay, what does this point about blessing teach me about God? When I read this, this is a thought that comes to mind. How amazing it is that God would want to bless us. How amazing is it that God, that our God, despite everything we've done, he loves to bless his children. He loves to protect us from sin. He loves to keep us in fellowship with him. He loves to give us power over sin in our lives. He loves to give us joy. What a wonderful God we have, that he loves to bless us that way. And that's what this text is about. It's about God saying, oh, I want to bless you. Come to me through my word and receive the blessing of fellowship with me. Now, I want to illustrate this from my own life. Several months ago, I was it was brought to my attention through, I believe, care group and through my wife that I was really struggling, dealing with, tempted by, and sinning in the area of contentment, not being content. There were things that I wanted to do that I couldn't do because of time or money or energy. There were things that I had to do that I didn't want to do. And as a result, I would complain or I would wallow in self-pity, which often for me, they go hand in hand. So either it's self-pity or I'm complaining. And I remember a day. So the care group, as I was explaining this to them, they cared for me. They helped draw me out. They helped me to see it more clearly. And I believe it was Robin at the time gave me a verse. He just said, "Here, Matt, I need you to consider. Why don't you think about this verse from Romans 8:28? And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." That may be a familiar verse to you. All things work together for good. So I remember then I'm meditating on this verse. I know I've got to deal with this. I want to please God in my life, and I know there's grace there to do it, and I want to use God's word as a means to that grace. And I remember the day that I was I had to make a phone call, and I remember just not wanting to make this phone call. I remember thinking, "Oh man, why do I have to make this phone call? Why can't somebody else make this phone call? Why does it have to be me?" And then it went into, I always have to make the phone calls. That's why, because it's my life. And I turned into Eeyore and went down that whole road of just complaining and woe with me. But it was in that the Spirit of God brought the verse back that I had been meditating on. And God's grace was there for me to, Romans 8. That's right, I remember this now. And I began to just draw from what I had been memorizing and thinking about in the morning. That's right. And I know that for those who love God, that's me because of God's grace, I know I love God, all things work together for good. It's like, this is going to be a difficult phone call. I'd rather not have to do this, but all things. So this phone call is going to work for my good. And this phone call is going to work together for the good of the other person because I'm certain they're a believer too. So it's going to work for their good. So as I talked to them about this thing, that this is all going to work for both of our goods. And then I went on for, it's not a word, goods, is it? Then I went on to the next part of the verse that says, for those who are called according to his purpose. Like, I've been called by God. I've been called by God. God has called me. I'm a child of God. Jesus Christ has forgiven me of all of my sins through his death and his resurrection. I'm a child of God. And if God would do that for me, then certainly God's going to work this phone call out for my good and for the good of the other person. And everything's going to be great. This is what God wants me to do. Do you see what happened in the process of recalling that scripture, of recalling that verse? Well, I didn't continue down the road of sin, of complaining. God allowed me in that moment to repent in the moment and put that to death. I actually found joy in my heart. Like, this is going to be good. God's got good in this for me. I'm excited about this. And it reminded me of my relationship with God. This is about God working in my life. This is about a God who saves me and now loves to interact with me. He loves to teach me things through his word and through experiences. And God is alive. God's active in me. Now, I wish I could tell you that maybe somebody came and knocked on the door and said, "Oh, Bat, by the way, that phone call, you don't need to make it anymore." But that's not what happened. God didn't change my circumstances. No, what God did was God changed my heart. God changed my heart. God allowed me an opportunity to encounter his grace, to experience his presence, and to please him in an area that in the past I would have sinned in. But that is how God's word often and should function in our lives. It should protect us from sinning. It should help us to experience joy in the middle of something that maybe we don't want to do or we have to do. And it should remind us, God's word reminds us that I'm not alone in this. I've got a God who's right here with me, who's going to help me and give me the grace to walk through this. So I'd just like to ask you just a question, an application question for you on this morning. What area of your life are you not experiencing God's blessing because you are wandering from his word? Is there an area of your life where you would say, "You know what, I'm not experiencing a blessing like you just described, or I'm experiencing a victory and a joy"? And I would just ask you, well, is there a scripture that you've wandered from? Have you wandered in some way from God or from God's word? I think you just consider that today as we continue this message through this passage. So a life in the Word is a life of blessing. And that, I hope, answers the motivation question, because I wanted to put that up front. I think the psalmist puts it up front because he says, I want you to be motivated, because now I'm going to switch to the how. I'm going to talk about discipline and dependence. Now I'm going to shift to the how do you do this. But I want to make sure that you're hearing how attractive, how wonderful it is to spend time with God and in God's Word. So now let's look at a life in the Word is a life of discipline. A life in the Word is a life of discipline. If you look with me at verse 9, there's actually 5 or 6 different words in this passage that the psalmist uses to show that his whole being is involved in this process of pursuing God in his Word. Look at verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your Word. The psalmist uses God's Word, truths from God's Word, as guardrails for his life. They are things that govern the decisions that he makes, the things that he does. He uses God's Word to guide him in the things that he has to do, the choices that he has to make. Look at verse 10. He says, with my whole heart I seek you. With my whole heart, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, in all of your soul, in all of your mind, in all of your strength. The psalmist is giving all of his heart to this pursuit of God, the seeking of God. Look at verse 11. He says, I've stored up your word in my heart. The psalmist is treasuring God's word. He's storing it up long term. The psalmist is thinking long term. I need to have God's word in me. I need to store it in there so that I have it when I need it. I need God's word. And so he stores it up. Verse 13, he says, With my lips, I declare all the rules of your mouth. He's speaking God's word with his lips. He's talking it out loud. I don't know about you, but that helps me. There are many times where I'm reading God's word, I'm struggling with, Lord, I want you to teach me from this. I want my spirit to be awakened by your word. And simply by speaking it out loud with my lips, it helps me pay attention. Helps me to pay attention to what I'm doing. And the psalmist here is saying, I'm gonna engage my mouth in this process of seeking God and his word. Look at verse 15. There are two phrases in verse 15. I will meditate on your word and I will fix my eyes on your word. The psalmist knows that his mind must be engaged. It's going to take hard thinking at times to know God through his word. And he says, I'm going to fix my eyes on God's word. Do you see what's happening here? His heart is engaged, his mouth is engaged, his mind is engaged, his eyes are engaged. Why is he giving all of himself to times of living in and loving God's word? Well, it's because he knows that he could be very easily tempted to forget God's word and to wander from God's word. And he knows that when he remains in God's word, that he will experience God's blessings through God's word. God loves to bless us this way when we spend time in his word. Well, I'd like to just go back for a moment now, back to my issues of dealing with self-pity and complaining, not being content. Because when I sat in care group that first time, and that scripture was read to me as a way of me combating my sin, I didn't go, oh, that's great. Thank you so much. Oh, I feel better now. Why would I ever complain again? I'm a free man. And I walked out of the room determined to never sin that way. Now that couldn't be further from that. It took time meditating, thinking about, praying over, asking God to give me the grace to apply it to my life, asking him to help me to understand this verse and what it really means. And it took discipline in my life in order for this verse to function the way that it should. Now, what you need to know is that I have not stopped doing that. Now, there are times when I have. I remember, we can talk about another sin issue, when I was and am still realizing and aware of self-righteousness in my life. And I'm pressing into self-righteousness, I want to kill self-righteousness, and I've worked on it for a while, and then there is a time where Elizabeth and I have a conflict. We resolve the conflict, I go to Robin the next day, and I say, Robin, I just want to share with you this conflict of what I had, here's what happened. And I said, I'm pretty certain that the issue here is lack of love in my heart. God's word says, love your wife as Christ loved the church, and I didn't do that, and I had it all packaged. And Robin very graciously thanked me for my assessment, and then he said, Matt, it sounds like you're just being self-righteous again. And I said, no, I dealt with that already. No, so that was last year that I was putting that to death. that was a different. And I realized what had happened was I had forgotten God's word in that sense. I had wandered from God's word. And that's what happens as soon as we wander away from God's word. It's not there to meet God's grace and God's spirit to help us when we need to guard against our sin. Meditate on God's word. Know God's word. Apply God's word, but know that it's going to take time. I'm not declaring victory over the sin of not being content. I'm not declaring victory over it, and I will never grow beyond needing God to meet me in this verse. I am never going to come to a place where I will overcome this without the need for God's grace and spirit and scripture to help me through this. Now, you may be thinking, but wait a minute, I thought we could have victory over sin in our lives. And I think God's answer to that is yes, we do experience God's victory over sin in our lives as long as you remain in God's word and dependent on God. Dependent on God and diligent in God's word. I've thought about it before. It's just, I need progressive victory. I need continuous victory in areas that God is bringing to light. So I'd like to ask you two questions of application. One is this. Just do you have a regular time of being diligent in the Word of God, a time of meditating, a time of thinking, a time of praying over God's Word, reading through God's Word? Do you have a regular time of doing that? Are you storing up God's Word in your heart? And the second is this. Do you have one specific verse to help you in one area of sin? One verse for one sin. One verse for one sin. Do you have that? Are you taking God's word in your heart and saying, God, I want this scripture to help me to honor and please you more and to set me free from sin in this one area? The life in the word is a life that is blessed. It is a life of discipline. And lastly, it is a life of dependence. A life in the word is a life of dependence. If you will look with me at verse 10, the psalmist says, with my whole heart I seek you. Whole heart, that's his part. And then he says this, but let me not wander from your commandments. Let me not wander from your commandments. He is doing the seeking while wholeheartedly depending upon God, saying, God, I depend on you. I need you to meet me even as I go to your word with my whole heart. You look at verse 12, he says, blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. Do you see the heart posture of the psalmist? He comes to God's word not with, I've studied this passage before, or I've heard it preached, I know what this says. No, he comes to it and he says, God, this is your word. I need you to teach me about this. I need you to show me what you want to show me. Correct me. Teach me. Guide me with this. Reprove me with this. I need your word to help me in my life that I would please you. See, I think the point is this, that the life in the word is a life of bowing your knee before God and before his word and saying, God, this is an expression that I need you. I'm coming before your word because I need you. I depend on you. And I need you to speak to me through your word as I practice discipline. I need your grace to help me. Now, my life, the biggest trial or struggle I face with this whole idea of being dependent on God is the fact that things in my life right now are going pretty well. I have a wonderful wife who loves God, who wants to please God, who serves me faithfully. It's just a wonderful gift to me. I have four wonderful children I just love to be with. We have fun together. We are growing together. It is a joy to be with them. I have a boss who's okay. I have a great boss. Dave, you are a great boss. I work with Adam and Greg and Dave, just great guys. Love being with them. My My house is in order. There's not any major repairs that need to be done. Finances are stable. I'm healthy, except for a few pounds I still need to lose. Things are going relatively well. And as things go well in my life that way, my wife and I have talked so much about this, we need to hear the Spirit of God saying, be careful. You don't want to wander. Just because things look okay doesn't mean that you can forget. And I believe God's Spirit just speaks to us over and over again. You need me. You're a fool, Matt. And I'm wise. You are dependent and I am independent. God's saying things like, you are weak and I am so strong. And God has to, through His Spirit and through His Word, remind me, I am dependent on you, God. Whether I feel it, whether I see it, the truth is I am desperately dependent on the grace of God in my life. How are you depending on God? Do you come to God's Word recognizing, man, God, I need you to speak to me. I am desperate for you. I depend on you. Let me ask just two application questions here at the end. Is your time in the Word an expression of dependence on God, or is it a legalistic ritual? Because that would be the flip side, perhaps for some of you, is you are very disciplined. You'd like to check off the box that you spent your time with God. And maybe that's you. And if it is, just want to encourage you. Cry out to God to help you, because it's a gift that you're diligent. But you need to say, Lord, I want to depend on you in this process. And the second is this, is your time in the Word an acknowledgement to God? God, I am prone to wander and I need you to keep me. And so I am going to bow my knee before your Word asking you to keep me because I know I am prone to wandering. Well, Christian, if you are here today, I hope that this message encourages you. I hope you hear the heart of God saying, I want to meet with you. I want to set you free from sin. I want to bless you because God loves to bless His children. But if you're here this morning and you are not a believer, I would want to encourage you. There's another question. Before you ask the question, how can I keep my way pure? The question that you need to ask yourself is, how can I be pure? How can I be pure before God? And one of the concerns that the pastors have is that, especially for some of the youth in our church that have been brought up in this church, that although you may think that you've been born again or you think that you have put your faith in Christ, there wouldn't be a spiritual life demonstrating that. And so I just want to encourage you, because if you start to practice the spiritual disciplines and you are not converted, it will become a life of drudgery. You will not like spending time in the Word. And so I just want to encourage you, if you are here today and you are not a believer, I want to encourage youth here that have been brought up in the church to examine yourself. 1 Corinthians, we read, examine yourself to see if the faith is true, to see if you really are of the faith. God wants you to examine yourself because you must have a genuine faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus was God's gift to us. Jesus was completely God and completely man, came to earth, lived a completely perfect life, no sin ever, and then went to the cross in your place as your substitute, bearing your sin in God's wrath so your sins could be forgiven. He rose from the dead, proving to us and to us that the Father had accepted His sacrifice and that He was completely God. And He's calling us, put your faith in Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will be pure. The Father will see you as clothed in all the Son's righteousness, and then you can pursue fellowship with God through His Word.